No, does this mean shotgun? This doesn't mean shotgun.
No, that means a knife to the throat or a knife to the back.
Why would he draw a line across his throat, Drax? Classic. Well, I ate fast for this hot dog show, so let's do this. Let's watch this trailer.
We don't get to eat until afterwards.
Yeah. I ate before I came, so I'm good.
Okay, let's see.
But it wasn't at work.
No, it was not at work.
This is Richard Wells with Starship Grissom, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Some of you may have figured out we're not home yet. We're only halfway there. Mother's interrupted the course of our journey.
What?
Yeah. She's programmed to do that should certain conditions arise. They have.
Seems she has intercepted a transmission of unknown origin. She got us up to check it out.
What kind of a transmission?
Acoustical beacon to pizza intervals of 12 seconds.
SOS.
Human.
That transmission. Mother's deciphered part of it. It doesn't look like an SOS.
Well, what is it?
Well, it looks like a warning.
Full of leathery objects, like eggs or something.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies. This time we are looking at the Alien franchise brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And I am Richard, along with
Lenny,
Jonathan,
Logan.
And as you heard and as we stated, we are beginning the Alien franchise.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
Yep. Whee.
And most everybody, if not everybody, has seen it, but we're going to have fun talking about it. A commercial crew aboard the steep space.
I don't think that's the way it goes.
The steep space? How steep in space are they?
No.
I'll tell you, they're in some steep space when those aliens come.
It's big, speaks big.
We're in some steep shit now. Yes. Steep.
All right. A commercial crew aboard the deep space towing vessel Nostromo is on its way home when they pick up an SOS warning from a distant planet. What they don't know is that the SOS warning is not like any other ordinary warning call. As the crew is attacked by a mysterious life form, they continue their journey back to Earth, thinking they have recovered the critter deceased, but they soon realize that its life cycle has merely begun.
Yeah.
Are you?
And some of the deets on this one is director is Ridley Scott. It was written by Dan O'Brien and Ronald Shusett. The main actors are Tom Skerritt. He's Dallas. He's the captain of the ship. Sigourney Weaver, who's really the main star, or eventually becomes the main star of the series, is Ripley. Veronica Cartwright is one of the crew members. Harry Dean Stanton's a crew member. John Hurt, who I believe was,
a crew member.
I think he's a crew member. Yeah, and Ian Holm, I think, was Ash, and he was the droid, I believe.
There was no droid in on the Nostromo. Yes, oh, yeah. Ash.
Yeah,
Ash was a droid. Who was attacked?
I think it was this Harry Dean Stanton character, Brett. Was it
okay,
attacked?
Brett.
No,
that's...
no, John Hurt was the one.
Yeah, that's what John Hurt was. John Hurt
was attacked.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that was produced back in 1979 with a very small budget of $11 million, but it grossed $78,900,000. So for its budget,
seven times, bit over. That's pretty good.
In 79, was $11 million really that small of a budget? I mean,
probably not.
Now, yeah, it's pennies.
But even
yeah.
back then, I think it was smaller than most.
It was smallish. Yeah. They didn't. Sigourney Weaver's paycheck from the second movie was more than the budget of this one.
Probably.
I'm pretty sure it was. Mm. And if not, it was by the end of the series. Do you need to take that?
No, I just need to wait for it to stop. Because I can't. Alrighty. So $11 million wasn't small, but for 20th Century Fox and some of the stuff they usually back up, it's fairly small. I don't think that was expected to be quite as big as it turned out to be.
Right.
I think they thought they were making a small movie that might get them a little bit of money.
And it turned out because this movie, when it came out, was,
This is one...
really popular.
Right. This is one where I was like...
My mother-in-law says this movie kept her from watching horror movies for years. She saw this in the theater and then wouldn't go to another horror movie of any kind. And I'm thinking, you had really low standards for what would scare you for years.
Right.
Oh, but back then, this was the...
Yeah, I guess. It's a cool movie, and it's very creepy.
Yeah, I was 10 years old when it came out, and I didn't get to watch it until it came on Cinemax, because we did have Cinemax next week back then still.
Woohoo!
Yes. So when it came out on Cinemax, my parents actually subscribed to some of those, and it was one of those. It was like, oh, you know. Even my parents, we had a sleepover. My parents were like, yeah, go ahead and watch it. And I was like, I was probably 11, 12. My sister was 3 years older than us, and we had a bunch of kids with us. Scared to live and be Jesus out of us.
I don't think I actually saw it until like the late 90s when I was in high school. Because my parents they didn't ever bring it home when I was a little kid that I remember. It was never part of our collection. But the sequel, Aliens, I'm not sure exactly how long it took them to make that. It was several years later. And that, I didn't see it, of course, in the theater. I was still a small kid. But as soon as it came out on the Skinemax or the HBO, Skinemax. I was definitely about that. And I loved that movie. And really, honestly, didn't ever have much appreciation for this one because...
you never saw it.
Well, I know I did see it. I saw it sometime, and I was just like, I didn't pay attention or whatever. And, I just kind of maybe watched half of it.
Yeah.
But I remember distinctly them putting it on, and I remember how long the opening was, and I'm like, really?
What you got, Jonathan?
Is it bad that I just seen this movie this year?
No. This is one of those classics. It's almost a cult classic to a degree, but it's become a classic because it became so popular.
Right.
And it's a slow burn opening, like Lenny said. It is a tension-driven piece. For back then, it was the first horror sci-fi combined movie. And that was its uniqueness. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, and the aliens are killing us all. So no, but actually seeing it for the first time this year, no, that's not too unusual for younger generations.
To be honest with you, if I didn't know that we were reviewing it, I probably wouldn't have watched it anyway because it has one of my least favorite actresses in it.
Yeah, that's what you said.
So.
The Sig. Miss Sigourney Weaver.
Yep.
I don't mind her. She's all right. I can see why they picked her to play this role, though, right. especially in the later movies, because she does have a strong personality. She's a, for a woman, she's a little bit taller, so she can project that authority type atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Where if she was a petite person, she'd really have to project authority to right. really make that character stand. Where since she was taller, and I don't know if she was ever a model or not. I think she was just an actor, but she has that, you know. That's why I like
her. I really don't have much of an opinion. Sorry. I know you were trying to draw me in there, but
no,
like,
but you were over here giving me dirty looks. I'm just
no,
like,
I was just waiting for I was waiting to see what you would do. I you know, she's great in these movies. I've seen some other movies where I loved her in Ghostbusters. So to say you hate her, that's kind of weird, because I think that just everyone in Ghostbusters, you can't go wrong with Ghostbusters.
Well, I mean, like, everybody has their least favorite actress. We know who yours is.
Which one is that?
Actually, I have a bunch of actresses I don't like, and actors. I'm very picky.
Yeah, but you've always...
Well, the movies we watch, she's in. It just happens. It always happens. She's not... And you know what? She's not even on the bottom of that list. Like, of my hate... Like, the person on the bottom of my list, I don't even think I should say, because she's so tied up in Hollywood, they'll probably come in with guns and hit me. But I'll tell you, it rhymes with who? Harry Whore. So if that helps you out.
No, not really.
Good. I think Richard just got it. You know,
we're talking about Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba just happens to be about. And also I also kind of dissed on what's her name from Jupiter Ascending, but I normally really like
Kunis.
Yeah, I really like her in that 70s show and most of the other movies she makes.
And Family Guy.
She's hilarious in Family Guy. But I don't like her in that movie. I think it's just because I didn't like that movie.
Yeah.
And you know, like, I think Ripley's just a strong written, strong-minded character that was, you know, I think, honestly, if I'm correct, I think this movie kind of made her career. I think she was lucked into this role because Ripley is the one that the series follows.
Right.
And that's not just they have a pretty long standing series of comic books from Dark Horse, right? Yeah. And they're all about Ripley too. So it's not
not all, but some are.
Well, there's, you know, the main storyline is pretty much her.
I was going to say probably a good.
I haven't read them all, but I knew they existed.
The main storyline's the movies. I'm pretty sure comics.
The comics really dive into.
Did the comics come out first or the movies? Probably the movies.
Movies.
The comics is where you go for the stuff that isn't.
Yeah,
Ripley.
They really take a dive into the side stories and different people. Yeah, they don't really concentrate on awesome Ripley because she's so featured in the movies.
Well,
the
ones that I've read were in the late 90s when I was into Aliens, and when around the time Alien Resurrection came out, I was really like an Alien 3, and so
adaptions basically.
And then in the late 90s, early noughties, they started
early noughties.
That's what they're called. what else do you call them? They're not teens.
90s.
No, noughties. The noughties. There's double aughts. The zero.
Aughts. That's what I call the aughts.
Well, the I've always, like, on TV and stuff, heard them called noughties, but you can look it up. But
it's different. I never heard that one. Cool.
I learned something today.
So that would be 2000?
Yeah.
2000 through 2009 are the noughties.
Yeah. I always
like,
called them
as off. In not, like, 0, 1. So not. No, never mind.
2000s.
I always called them not. Aughts, rather, sorry.
And that's pretty much the same thing because... Yeah. The two words are synonymous, ought and not,
first
because
time I've heard it. That's cool.
I heard it all over the place, but whatever.
Is it not 20 miles? Nautical mile 20?
No, not that kind of knot.
Like zero sum. Nothing.
N A U G H T.
I got it.
Yep. Exactly.
There we got it.
I don't know why we bothered with that for
the
so long.
Side story here on the knots.
In the comics that I read, I remember the most exclusively were the Predator versus Alien comics when they first came out. But before that,
that was popular.
I know that the storyline that was going on before that in the comics was about Ripley and the little girl, and that was between the second and third movie. So after that, I really don't know. But they've had the comics pretty much since the first movie.
Yeah. And the Alien versus Predator comics were out before they even married the two franchises.
Before the movies came out, the Dark Horse had the... Because I've seen those. Yeah, I've read those back in the day. Yeah. They're very cool comics.
Dark Horse.
Dark Horse is a great comic company, and they have a lot of great titles, and... Yes. They've always been a dark horse.
I've always liked the name.
Because of their name, I think they've just always been like not in the limelight. But was Watchmen? No, that wasn't.
No, that was DC. Dark Horse Comics made their claim to fame with all the movie titles. And then they started doing some independent stuff.
Yeah, I remember Legends of the Dark Woods, I think, was that one.
They did a lot of movie-type tie-in stuff.
We've done some graphic novels from Dark Horse lately, haven't we? A couple?
One or two. Well, I don't know if we have or not.
Not like very, very recently, but before. I think we did. It's like, I kind of remember it.
I don't recall any.
We do. Well, you would know, so maybe we have it. Get some. You're a librarian. Get some Dark Horse comics. I want to read them.
I do have some. And I know where at least one of them was very good.
Yeah, they're
and
pretty good.
A few of them are also very good.
But this one was for Alien. It's rated R for violence. Not necessarily, no nudity. Really, there was no nudity, surprisingly.
Boo.
But if you go to...
Actually, with this crew, that's totally okay.
But if you go to where they got the inspiration for the Alien and Alien ships and everything... And it's Geiger.
H.R. Geiger.
You will have some nudity involved if you go reference him. So be forewarned. If your kids look at it, you know, he does.
H.R. Geiger.
H.R. Geiger.
The alien concept was based on his art.
He's a German artist. If I believe he's German.
Machina. Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure, but I don't know much about him. But I've looked at a lot of his books because I was a teenager. I was into aliens and, of course... The nudity.
Mm. Yep.
So
go look them up on Google Images, and you'll see. You'll scroll through the images, and you'll see.
It's a lot of Machina art, and then
Machina.
Machinery. Flesh machinery melded. Okay. There's a term for it. Look it up.
Got it.
We're teaching Jonathan.
When it comes to this kind of stuff, I have questions.
No, that's fine. I know sci-fi is not your biggest area.
Yeah.
But this is one that...
I just happen to know about... I don't know anything about any sci-fi, but I know a little bit about H.R. Geiger. It's just... I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't read the book that all the nudity was in, but I actually put the words.
True. That's what most teenage boys went for it, too. I mean, let's be honest. But it's really intricate artwork. Very out there on some of the pieces, but that's what the aliens and the alien ships are all based around, is his artwork. That's where Ridley Scott went to get it, and it's prevalent through all the movies from that point on.
Okay.
And the term chest busters pretty much came to being because of how the alien impregnate. They have a
chest facehugger or chest buster.
They have a face hugger
to
begin with. Uh-huh. And the A kind of opens up really suggestively part of the body of
in
a
your
female.
Lower and, well or I mean even a male too, it'll, you know, but it's pretty much the lower abdomen, the womb area.
Yeah.
But
facehugger jumps out and attacks whatever being is there, whether it's a horse or a human or an ape.
Oh, well, in the original one, the egg is one of the eggs, like a mother laid.
Right.
It's not on a host.
No.
It's not a host egg. But the host eggs are actually, after the xenotype comes out, the host eggs are laid in the carcasses of the humans, right?
No, they're laid in live humans because they impregnate them through
Why
the throat.
Why do you think it's chest busters?
And then they impregnate them, and that grows just like a...
Into another facehugger?
No.
Into a xenotype.
Which becomes the actual alien.
The xenotype.
And the only one
chest
that can produce...
Just call it a xenotype, because that's what they're called.
Chestbuster is basically a worm type. And then it evolves into... evolves.
Like Pokemon. It totally does.
It has two mouths.
I think the guys that did Pokemon, I honestly think they watched some Alien, and they were like, oh, yes, very good idea. Let's do this.
But that's
kind Pokemon's of, old, but it's not older than Alien. No way. This is like 40 years old. We're talking here, almost 40 years
not
old.
Older than Aliens?
No, not Pokemon. Because Magic's only since 91, and it's definitely older
we're
than Pokemon.
To see,
but
any references to Alien?
That's all right.
Much
but the egg itself, like I said, it's a fleshy egg. But the way it opens is really suggestive of a female.
Oh, is that what you were talking about? That egg,
groin.
Yeah.
And the chest buster and the facehugger is pretty much like squid-like type of deal, spiderish.
Squidward.
No.
No.
It's
but it impregnates it through its throat.
It grabs a hold of you and shoves its very suggestive organ down your throat,
yeah,
and then wraps its tentacles around your throat and pumps its self into you, and then
but the chest buster, it looks like the groin area of a male when it first comes out.
Yeah, and it's like it's like wormy.
It's really sexually suggestive. They take from Geiger really
well, and that's the way Geiger envisioned it. It was always very explicit artwork.
Yeah.
Which is why everyone loves it so much and why it's the best. Honestly, it's for especially for the, you know, how old it is. It is really incredible. And anyone that is willing to accept a little bit of nudity and whatnot that wants to check out some I really suggest going and looking up some Geiger on Google or whatever. I looked in books. There's books, but I don't want you to break yourself. Just click on the Google icon and you'll find what you're looking for.
It might be a bit difficult to find the books, but
go for it. Yeah, it might be difficult these days.
They're not that old. No clue. You can find them on your Kindle,
which is digital as well.
Broken about a decade ago.
A decade.
Almost.
No, half a decade, maybe.
Yeah, half a decade.
Yeah, a decade, half a decade, who knows? I mean, it's 5 years. You know, a lot could have happened in that time. It's hard to remember exactly when the Kindle broke in that 5 years.
Exactly.
He's getting old. More accurately, he's making references.
When I got the Kindle.
I didn't even think septuagenarians made references on that. Did you know that one?
70s.
Yes.
But this is one, it's a slow burn. If for the new audience, it's going to be a little bit slower to get in, harder to get into because
it's going
to
be a lot slow and hard to get into.
Yep, it's the really big build up to the reveal. The alien itself being the first movie is really slow as well when you come to think about how it moves.
Uh-huh.
It was, you know, it was actual, I think it was an actual actor that was in part of the suit. Some of it was just pieces of the suit. So it's actual effects. It's not, you know, that's back in the 70s and early 80s. So they didn't have all the computer stuff.
Yeah, there was no CGI at all.
But the main feature is the head. They're blind. But the main key to this that was so freaky for the audience viewers back then, I don't know about now.
When they open their mouth, a smaller mouth would come out and chomp at you.
It'd just spring out and bite you, and then the blood is acid, and it would just eat you away. So how do you kill that thing without getting the blood on you?
Yeah, exactly. No blood contact, please.
Yeah.
And that's where in the second one, I hate to keep jumping ahead, but that's where the Space Marines go so wrong, is they still don't have much of a battle plan for the blood. Well, but anyway, we'll go back. Sorry, we're going to get into that one very soon.
We'll do that one. Sometime. Did that work? I think, Jonathan, you and Logan are the two that's seen it the most recently, probably. Uh-huh. Was it, I mean, am I correct in what I'm saying? Was that the parts that stood out to you, the mouth and the blood?
I think the part that stood out to me the most is when the dude was, like, the alien was coming out of the dude.
Chestbuster?
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah, that's the you know, that's probably one of the most referenced movie scenes.
Yeah.
Movies.
I was more like worried about the cat than anything else.
They do that in Family Guy. They do it in Simpsons. They do it in American Dad. I think they do it in South Park a couple times. Do Chestbusters in all kinds of spoof movies. And like they do it in Spaceballs, if you guys remember. Did you see Spaceballs with John Candy?
It's been a while back. I can't remember doing the alien reference in Spaceballs.
Yeah, and then he does a little song and dance. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
Yes.
So this is probably one of the most iconic horror movie, sci-fi movie scenes. So the fact that stood out to you is not
a
shock.
That's appropriate, yeah.
And it stood out to me, too, you know. But
I didn't think, to be honest with you, that was the only scary part of the movie. I didn't think the whole, like, I thought that it was cool, but I didn't think it was scary per se.
Yeah, you're so desensitized. See, that's the modern art. Shouldn't even bill it as a horror movie. They just need to bill it as a sci-fi movie now, because the modern audience is so desensitized by what's on regular TV for children now. It's like, you know, like ABC Family desensitizes them where Alien is just not scary. You know, like they've got rougher graphics in Wizards of Waverly Place than this. So, but, you know, I think the second movie could still be, and the third and fourth for sure. Horror movies.
What did you think about the first one, Logan? Did it scare you much, or was it just another movie?
Nothing scares Logan.
I can get very shocked at times, but it was pretty good from what I recall. But nah.
Scary, not much. I know it's only been a few months. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Also, it was.
Hey, it's a few months to 5 years in a few months. Okay, he's not sure how long it's been.
Go ahead, Logan.
I was having. If I remember correctly, at the time I watched it last night, I was having problems hearing what the guys were saying.
I can agree with that. Just with the trailer itself.
Right.
When we were listening to it at the first, it is a quiet movie, and it is...
Yeah, you have to turn your TV up to 100, for sure, or you're not hearing nothing.
Right.
Except for the mother. You know, that's it.
And there are long periods of silence.
Yeah.
Single-toned music, not really...
Nah.
But he still knew how to use lights. Like, what I hate about modern movies that are, like, driven on suspense is they want to turn off all the lights and have you walk around in the dark. And I'm like, first off, it's a horror movie, so I already turned off the lights. Leave a light on. I know it's supposed to be dark. It's make-believe. Make-believe. You can make it possible for me to see a little bit of what's going on, even though it's like, maybe for a few seconds in, like, one movie every 10 years is that appropriate to have total darkness. But, like, they do it, like, every other movie for 57 minutes out of the 59 minutes of the movie. It's pitch black, and all you do is you hear them, and then it's, like, a close-up, and there's a snot bubble at the end. It's terrible, and I think that people need to turn on the damn lights, rehire some of your grips whenever you're making the movie, because, it's supposed to be scary, so we're going to make it pitch black where they can't. So the actors and actresses are, like, sitting there eating sandwiches. Oh God, there he comes. You know, and then he's like, oh God, I'm dead. From their little chairs.
You had a comment? You forgot it. I thought you had a comment.
The end. Okay.
Were you talking about the one that I almost said when he was talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
About the darkness. Being dark, not maybe light.
Sorry.
It was before that, but whatever.
Okay.
That was a long rant. I know. It should have just been one word. It was dark.
Well, that was even more than one word. Good.
Now it's dark bad.
Okay, I can see that, because there are spots in this movie that are dark. Mm-hmm. But they have
lit
there as well.
But they're lit. But
like when they're down in the engine room type thing, it's really dark.
Even if you only light a corner of the thing so I can see their feet sometimes, that's cool.
But he intentionally did that at the first to hide the alien a little bit. And it did blend in pretty well with the machinery because it is, you know, biomechanical artwork or machina, or however you want to call it. Machina is what Lynn stated.
I call it Audi.
So it's, you know, it does blend in, but he was using the lighting too to make it a little harder to see as well until the full reveal.
I'm just going back to the joke from earlier. No one got it. It totally missed you.
Oh, I thought that was a type of car, though. Whatever.
Audi is also a type of car if you spell it differently. Congratulations. Welcome to homonyms.
I just barely got it.
But this is one, if you're a sci-fi person, you've probably watched it. If you're not a big sci-fi person, you probably haven't. It is considered one of the classics now because, like I said earlier.
Because it's old.
Well, it's the blending of the sci-fi horror. And there was a lot of...
And it's old.
What was it? A lot of copycats after this movie?
Yeah.
That was really, really similar in tone and how they
Ghost
were made.
Ghost from Mars 1 was somewhat similar, but not quite. Somewhat similar, though.
In a way, yeah. But this one really had an influence on the culture back then. And back then, yeah, this was the bomb back then, yeah. This is one that scared all the teenagers to death. But like Looney's today's age, nah.
Not even six-year-olds would be scared of this movie today.
Jaws.
Yeah.
Scared to live and be Jesus out of
it. Watch it now.
Again. Now it's like, we were scared of this? Wow.
It's not even a little scary. The shark doesn't even look a little bit real.
And it's not even rated R.
Not even a little bit.
It's rated PG.
Oh, I mean, I'm not talking about the rating. I'm talking about the shark still. But yeah, you're right. The
shark, yeah, it's completely fake. But yeah, back then, it scared us to death.
People didn't need things to look so real then because people didn't do such a good job of making everything look so real. Now the cartoon, now they have cartoons that look realer than the movies looked in the 70s.
Also, people didn't realize what sharks looked like.
Well, yeah, they did.
Yeah, I know.
We're not that old.
Well, to a degree, the sharks that they have attacking people in Jaws are ridiculous. Like, sharks that big don't come in and attack people in 3 or 4 foot of water. They don't even attack boats. Sharks that big, you know, they attack big things, not people. We're like snacks to them. What people get attacked by are, you know, in like wading water up to their knees by tiger sharks and stuff. They get mauled and hammerheads. Little 9 foot makos will make lunch out of you, you know, and these sharks are what's actually dangerous. So Jaws, like, people are like, oh, that's a cute little tiger shark. It's not a big great white, you know, and like it'll eat your face off. whereas a great white will barely, you know, they're like way out in the deep. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be swimming out there. And they found them. So they're like, see, there are sharks as big as Jaws. Yeah. In the bottom of the ocean. Where no one goes.
And you can get some great whites pretty close to shore at times. Because we've had the reports of those. But they're pretty outliers.
Definitely. You know, and like, well, like coming from
that size,
coming from Florida, you know, I've never heard of a shark attack that was anything except for a Mako or a tiger shark.
Some wicked videos, those massive schools of sharks sometimes that they shoot from the air.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
The last couple of years, like, holy cow.
Yep, that's pretty scary. Sharknado, man. Wait for the Sharknado. I think, haven't they made like 5 of those? Sharknados? That's awesome.
Wouldn't it be Shark Tsunami, though?
Shark Tsunami?
Yeah, like the...
tsunami's the...
And, you know, it could be possible. Here's a plausible scenario. There's a tsunami coming. The water's draining. A wind whips. There becomes a, what do you call it? A water spout.
Water spout, yeah.
A shark gets sucked up into the water spout. An old lady standing on the dock too close to where the tsunami's coming anyway, so she's going to die anyway. But the shark gets shot out of the water spout. Obviously, its mouth is open because it's like, ah! And it accidentally eats the... Like, this is a plausible thing that's going to happen in Indonesia any year now. And, like, they're going to be like, see, Sharknado is basically nature fiction. It's like... It's the most, and my kids love this movie. Love that. There's like 5. They've made like 5 of them now. Like, I don't know how you can even do a sequel to something called Sharknado. I refuse to watch it.
Two, because I saw the mentions of the second, but I never.
There's no. There may not be 5, but there are at least 3. Wow. At least 3, because I have seen my son watching at least 3 of them, and he's like, "You want to watch Sharknado 3 with me?" And I'm like, "Sharknado 3. I don't even want to watch Sharknado 2."
Well, I think everybody says it's so stupid, it's fun.
Yeah. You know what's fun about Back to the... I watched Back to the Future the other day. That's unrealistic. We have more stuff than they thought we would have by now.
True.
Except for the flying cars. We don't have that, but... Pretty much everything else, yeah, we got. Like
hoverboards.
Yeah, hoverboards. Using your thumb to identify you and, yeah. Like... All, you know, age, loss, regeneration, whatever. The screens on, you know, being able to talk to people on a screen, face to face. 166 channels on one television.
Wasn't that originally on the Jetsons?
Yeah.
I think.
And we have 700 some channels.
There's either Jetsons or one of the very old sci-fi movies where the... Yeah. Talking on a screen to each other.
The Jetsons was pretty old.
I know.
So they may have been the originators, but it also could have been something by Orwell or something by what's his name? Who did the Time Machine?
H.G. Wells.
Wells might have done something with because they were very, you know, Jules Verne never used not video. He did things that were
audio.
It was hard to believe that he would even think of that. That they're all everything he thought up, except for going to the center of the earth in any capacity, because that's ridiculous. it's a molten ball of lava. You can't go down there.
It's been proven you can find a rock in the center of the earth.
Sure, yeah, but and in the pools of magma, so you can find a rock while you're dead. Yeah.
There's so much stuff in the way just to get there, we're not going to
flew
bother.
Right over the head on that reference.
Oh, a rock. Oh, I see.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I never actually, I've only ever seen it. I've only ever seen the sequel, The Mysterious Island.
Yep, that is Dwayne Johnson, too.
Yeah, I actually thought that it was Brendan Fraser in the first one.
It was.
So the rock was not in the center of the world.
You're right. It was
ha, 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 ha.
My bad.
But you can find a rock on that island. I'm glad that he dropped the rock from his name, because now he's like just an actor, so we can all forget about that whole WWE thing.
It was fun for him while it lasted.
Yeah.
But this one, we're going to say, watch it if you haven't. I think everybody pretty much has.
Yeah.
If you're not a fan of sci-fi horror.
It's rated R. In today's market, it would be rated PG or 13. G. No. It would not get a 13.
It's got people dying in it.
Yeah.
It's not G.
Okay. It would be PG. It would not be R. I'm sorry. There's no way. I've seen movies that are rated PG-13 that are way worse than this.
And it's kind of a 10 Little Indians type theme, too, because it's the crew getting picked off one by one.
That's fun. Yeah, I love that.
So that's no spoilers there, because it's from 79.
If you haven't seen this and you're listening to this and you're like waiting to the end of our podcast to watch Alien, sorry for ruining it for you. Everybody dies.
Apparently,
except for Sigourney Weaver.
I didn't say who survived.
Well, come on, man.
I think there was more than one survivor, too, wasn't there?
What's that?
I think there was more than one survivor, too.
The droid.
The cat.
They didn't attack the android.
He was ripped in half.
But he was still alive. I mean, in the third one, he was just, the other android's just ahead, but he's still alive. Because they're androids. He can't.
But was the android still on the ship, though?
Yes.
He wasn't alive at the end there.
Well, okay, yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, the little kitty cat survived. Jonathan was worried for him the whole movie.
That's the only thing I cared about was freaking cat.
The end.
That was probably a worry for at least half the audience.
How long has this stupid review taken us? I've tried to say the end 3 times. Oh my god, it's been a half an hour. This is ridiculous. No, it's been almost an hour.
This is a classic. We gotta spend at least a little bit of time on it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've been having fun here. We'll be looking at next movie in the franchise. We're going to start off with the aliens, then we'll branch off and do the Predator, and then we'll come back and do the AVP stuff. And within the sequels of Aliens, we'll eventually hit Prometheus, but we're going to do it in order of release with the aliens. So Prometheus will actually be the last thing we look at,
even though it happened
unless
first.
Something else comes out before we're finished with it.
Yeah. But we'll sprinkle these in every so often like we do with the franchise movies. We've been having fun looking back. Hope you have been having fun listening to us. Mm-hmm. Have a good one out there, everybody.
Nice. Bye.
Bye.
See ya. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thing.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.